Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Carum, and that's Ben Mandelker.
Hello.
Ooh. Hello, Ben. Ooh. How you doing, cute guy?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. Everybody, welcome to the show. It's Next Gen NYC Day. So that's super fun. We're going to recap that. If you want bonus episodes, we talked about Love Island Reunion and Ladies of London in this week. So those are always good. Ben has a new show on YouTube. Oh, go ahead.
Real Housewives of London, not Ladies
of London. I'm spieling. Yeah, they really need to fix that. You can't have a Ladies of London and then put on Real Housewives, right? I was trying to tell my friend, go watch Real Housewives of London. It's really funny. I watch that. That's with the gay guy. No, that's Ladies of London. Oh, there's another one? Yes, there's another one. What's it called? Real Housewives of London. So the Ladies of London. No! Just no. Fix it, Bravo. Also bring back Ladies of London.
Do them both.
Point is, we talked about that. It was super fun. Yeah. Also, Ben has a new show on YouTube called What's Your Order? And it's where he gets together with other Bravo commentators, or just commentators in general, really funny, talented people, and orders Housewives events. Not orders them, but puts them in order. So actually, go watch it. It's really good. It's killing it. It's slaying the internet. What is it?
It goes even beyond the Housewives. This week's episode ranks the top five Summer House cast members of all time. So if you have opinions on Summer House, and you want to feel confirmed or enraged, then come watch the show and leave your thoughts on who are your top five Summer House players of all time. The players.
Yes. So go do that. If you want these recaps on video, you can get them for free on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you want them the day they come out instead of waiting a week, that's what you get on Patreon along with the videos and ad-free listening and all that good stuff. Today, also, we're going on tour starting October 3rd. We open in Kansas City and go to Chicago the next day. We will have tickets going on sale September 10th. That is in 1 week. Tickets go on sale. You'll be able to find those at our website, which should also be new by then. Hopefully, I'm just saying that so that I'll finish it. I publicly said it, so now I have to finish it. So September 10th, tickets go on sale. Check back. WatchOutCrappens.com for that. In the meantime, Next Gen NYC, young people doing young things. Most likely Coke at Charlie's house. Why the hell else is everybody going else to Charlie's house at 2 in the morning? Is Charlie just a good Coke dealer? And also it explains why no one will stay mad at Charlie.
Why do they just keep going back to him? Yeah, it does explain why no one is mad at him. Because he just must be providing everything. The Coke, maybe he has some like spendthrifts in the fridge that they really like. Maybe a massage chair. He clearly has something that they're there. Obviously, we know he has a very good Bluetooth speaker. So that for sure is going to be a draw. But yeah, they're all going there a lot at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Bluetooth speaker. Snorting off a Bluetooth speaker. Yeah, someone sent me an email or a DM on Instagram saying, why haven't you mentioned that they're probably going to Charlie's house for Coke? I just kind of assumed we all assumed that. But yeah, thanks for pointing it out. They're probably going over there for Coke. Also, can we get a better drug? I'm not even judging the Coke. I mean, I loved Coke for a very long time. But God, it's expensive and it really hurts your nose. And the follow-up is really just not worth it. We need a new drug, as Huey Lewis once said. You know what, Huey? I agree with you. Someone get on that. Seriously, Bravo. Fix the names of Ladies of London and Real Housewives of London. Get us something better than Coke. Please.
You know, I mean, if there's anything that we've learned from this show is that you actually don't need money. You don't need fame. You don't need no credit card to ride this train.
Yeah, but see, all of that was also not true.
You actually need all three of those things and a good social media account.
yeah. Huey Lewis was kind of a liar, but we do need a better drug. So let's get on to this. This is season 2, episode 11, The Bunny Hill I Die On. That's a big promise in a title.
It's a I mean, it's a you are someone's gonna take a stand in this episode. That's what we know. And we begin back in Wyndham, New York.
Oh, but also you're kind of saying someone's going to die. You can't start off a murder mystery and then end it with nobody dying. You know, like someone's going to die. Who's it going to be? And then it's nobody.
Yeah.
Not that I want people on this show to die. I just...
That would be
we
the
also
Gen
need
Z
a better
title.
Mystery.
Gen Z murder mystery is like, guys, why does anyone have to die? The mystery could just be that we were on a journey together. Yeah. So I think it works.
Yeah. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. So we're at this ski trip, and we see everybody skiing, and Liam's trying to teach Kendall how to stop on her skis. And I thought, is it going to be Kendall that dies? Because I saw the title of the episode. She didn't. No. And he's like, well, I'm a ski instructor, but it's a tough morning. So, you know, I want to do a shred. All right, I just want to shred. It's been really difficult, you know, talking about my love life with Ariana, admitting that I loved her. But the point is, this is the slope, and on the slope we shred.
And so then we see flashbacks of their contentious dinner the night before, and Liam is like, guys, let's fucking send it. Come on, let's shred. And then the producer's like, so if anyone, like... He's like, your mindset is if anyone needs me, I'll be on the mountain. And he's like, yeah, I fucking wish, but I'm just going to be on the bunny hill. It's the life of a ski instructor actor.
Amira is skiing with her Birkin because she's doing TikToks while she skis. Because all of my life is about content.
Do you know what it's like not being even able to escape content for 2 seconds? I can't even ski on a fucking bunny hill.
I'm sure the people at Birkin really loved that, seeing... There are thousands and thousands of dollars work of craftsmanship just being tumbled around on a slope in Wyndham, New York.
But that's who should own Birkins. People who don't even, you know, people who are so rich that they can just take their Birkin skiing.
That's true. That's true. It's like it's definitely a flex. Although, as Dorinda Medley would say, wealth whispers and money screams. And middle class is like, hey, how's it going? That's a new part of it. You didn't hear that part.
So now the group goes to lunch, and George is like, walking on snow boat is so demeaning.
The people, the marginalized populations throughout history that have had to walk in snow boots. It's maddening.
Yeah. We really haven't discussed enough the poor people who had to walk in snow boots. I feel like we've come a long way in 2026, but, you know, we've still got a long way to go, guys. Let's just keep trucking, okay? Kendall and Charlie.
For snow boot awareness. Yeah.
Another thing we're not talking about enough is like how many food options they have in grocery stores. It's insane.
Have you ever tried to wear snow boots into a grocery store to look at all the breadth of food options and they kick you out because you're wearing snow boots? It's so demeaning. It's so demeaning to be so close to so many options and not be able to partake.
Kendall and Charlie are at opposite ends of the table, and the producer asks Kendall if she's bonded with Charlie, and she's like, no. Have you bonded with anyone? Why are we cutting to Kendall? This is not the way to start an episode.
We have so much Kendall this episode. It's hilarious. So she's like, last night I heard a lot and I didn't like what I saw. But I'm like, I hate to be a nitpicker, but like, you heard a lot, so you didn't like what you heard. It's not that you heard a lot and didn't like what you saw. I'm sorry. Let's be consistent about the things, how you consume the information. But she goes, but what really did not sit well with me was Liam this morning. He didn't even tell me something was wrong. I just saw it on his face, and I didn't like what I heard. Am I doing it wrong?
I didn't like what I heard on his face. It felt weird. The texture of it was weird. So we see Liam making breakfast, and she's like, I heard you and Ariana talking till like 6 a.m. Are you okay? He's like, ugh,
fine. I will be okay. I will be. Just concentrate on the pancakes. It's difficult. Just difficult morning for me. I'm just gonna get through it like the actor I am. Shred.
Just gonna shred those with the pancake. Put a pancake in my mouth and just shred down the slope. The bunny's hill, that is, because I'm a ski instructor. I help people. That's what I do. It's my lot in life. I help. So
Kendall's telling us that Ariana and Charlie really get along well, and she's not saying anything, but she is kind of saying something, because they get along really well. Maybe something's going on. Now,
not like what she's smelling.
Yeah. So Ariana is thanking Jesus for the amazing food, and Kendall's saying, why is it so many Kendall? Every time I hit another Kendall, I'm not a Kendall hater.
Listen, I love an unnatural reality star. It's actually one of my favorite things. And like Kendall is like the latest in that mode for me. She does not know what she's doing. She's awkward. She has no screen presence. But like, it's one of those things where someone is so bad at it that I then grow to really enjoy their awkwardness. And so that's what Kendall is for me. So they give her this like line from Big Brother to recite where she goes, Ariana's the religious one. But Liam and I really need to have a come to Jesus moment right now. I was like, oh, Kendall, you're better than this. You're better than this.
But if she was on Big Brother, she'd be saying it a lot more loudly. She'd be like,
she's the one who likes Jesus, but we need to have a come to Jesus. Ba-doing.
Or she'd do the sing-song version. You either scream it on Big Brother or you say, Ariana's the religious one. But Liam and I really need to have a come to Jesus moment right now.
Yeah.
They just literally the worst diary room coaching of all reality TV is on Big Brother. It's like they don't even like they just are like, yeah, we'll give you a line. Just say it in the most stilted, strange way. Feel free to either scream it or pretend like you're sort of singing a song as you say it.
Yeah. I just imagine like a stage mother, like Mama Rose in the front, being like, well, sing it to the rafters, honey. We can't hear you.
There's this one girl who's on the season who literally was, when I say she was screaming in the confessional, she was literally shrieking and screaming because she was very frustrated about something. And I was like, okay, we've gone too far. We need to have like a decibel like limit on Big Brother. Also, by the way, Big Brother's amazing this season. It's a top 10 season for me. It is so good. I'm so glad I'm back.
Damn it. Of course, I couldn't take another season, and so I didn't watch it.
No, understandably.
And we were talking to somebody from Big Brother at Brittany. That party we were at last week, Brittany, who obviously I love from Big Brother. I said, how you doing? And she's like, good, you know, a little tired after last night. That was crazy. So what'd you do last night? She's like, Big Brother. I was on Big Brother last night.
I'm so sorry.
It's the first season I'm not watching. I didn't know that you were there. Damn it.
Another guy was like, how are you not watching
the season? They killed off Rachel. They killed her off in the very first episode. They threw her into a volcano.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's like the show is working for me. They made some like the smallest tweaks and it like has come back to life for me. So I heard that actually last season was really good, but I missed it because the season, I don't know. But like, I'm happy to say Big Brother is killing it right now. So good. Anyway, that's just where Kendall takes us. Anywhere else but her.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Shy, they've all gone skiing and now they've all convened for lunch, as you mentioned before, because we have this table situation with Charlie and Kendall. And Shy comes over with like a tray, but since he's walking in those demeaning snow boots, he's like very careful, afraid he's going to trip. So he like comes over very slowly and gingerly with his tray. And they're like, oh my God. Charlie's like, are you dead ass? Like, are you drunk? Are you drunk, bro? Like, literally. It's like, wait, Kayla's here? What?
Literally, how you carrying that tray?
Dead ass. Dead ass. He's like, no, I'm just in ski boots, guys. And they're like, oh my God, your fly's undone. So where are Gia and Amira? And Rowan's like, wait a minute. Didn't Gia say to wait for her at the top of the mountain? He's like, yeah. But that was an hour ago. Yeah. So you guys were supposed to wait. And Charlie's like, well, it would be another kind of stupid. It would be another kind of special to like still be sitting up there. And then it cuts to them still sitting up there.
I think so.
It's Gia. This is Teresa's daughter. I can't explain why. Amira's just being a nice friend. But like Gia would be the one where it's like, well, I can't feel my limbs anymore. And they're turning black from frostbite. But I made a promise, so I'm going to sit on top of this mountain until they come.
Yeah. If ever there's a reason to roll down a hill, it's that G is at the top of it. So I was surprised that Amira was just sitting there. But she was. She was just sitting there. And she's like, oh my God, my weaves. She's like, both of our weaves. Both of them. Okay. So now we go back to the group and they see Gia coming down finally. And they're like, whoa, where's Gia's pulls? Gia's so good. She doesn't even use her pulls, you guys.
Yeah. She just is like a little cannonball on that slope. Just goes right down. You know, low center of gravity. It's easy. So then they all come in and they're all worried that they're going to be mad at them. But they are actually so self-involved in whatever social media that they're doing at that moment that they just don't even have, they don't even remember that everyone abandoned them.
Amira's skiing down doing her makeup at the same time for a TikTok.
I love this show. It's so ridiculous. I love Amira. I have to say again, I think Amira is having such a breakout season. Like, she is so good. And this is such a beautiful episode. Not beautiful, but like, it was a very three-dimensional episode for her, which I really appreciated. But I also think that like, this is her star-making season for sure. Also, it's kind of funny to think of her just sitting with Gia at the top of the mountain. I feel like Amira and Gia, like, have we seen a lot of one-on-one time with those two? They seem like they're from different worlds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Roll down the hill. What are you doing sitting up there? Get out.
Get out.
So they're like, hey, are you still in one piece, Amira? She's like, titty's still intact, face still lethal. I made it. So Ariana is like, okay, does anybody want an espresso martini? Like, oh, no. No, no, no. And Shia says, you sort of espresso. It's like, yeah, espresso. Espresso with an S. She's like, I'm so sick of pronouncing things in front of you people.
This was a very important scene to me. I was like, finally, after years and years of enduring this, especially on Below Deck, someone on Bravo takes a stance and they spelled it on screen. This was a lesson. This was a lesson to not just the youth of America. I would actually say all of America. It's espresso, not expresso. Thank you, Shia, for your service.
It was something that's needed to be said on Bravo for a really long time. And you know that the Below Deck people probably are not watching this, but they need it the most.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're the worst about it. Espresso.
What? Espresso?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was very happy.
So Ariana goes to get to some espresso, and she's at the bar with Liam, and they have as much chemistry as always, which is none. She's just staring straight ahead, and he's like, oh, feeling okay? Hey, what's up there? You know, I feel like I'm at a ski lodge because I am at a ski lodge, but I'm like really living the moment, and that's really important for an actor to do. How are you feeling?
She's like, yeah, I'm having so much fun here. And she says, it's definitely a bit weird right now between me and Liam, like between dinner last night and him telling me this morning at 5 a.m. that he'd love me. He's like, yeah, I mean, look, I think I was just like a little too honest with her. It's one of the problems when you're an actor is that you have to be emotionally honest all the time. So sometimes you wind up just being honest all the time. It's tough. But as Uta Hagen once said, tell her you love her. It's not a direct quote, but I'm pretty sure it is. Thank you, actor.
As Uta Hagen once told me, kiss the girl. Kiss the girl. It's a great film.
As James Lipton once told me, tell the story about the time you told the girl you loved her over espresso martinis.
So we see them at his family summer house at Lake George. How many houses does this guy have? They've got this ski one. They've got a Lake George one. They've got their Manhattan apartment. This one? I thought this was his family house.
No, this was, remember, it was an Airbnb. He sent everyone the listing, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, but I thought it was his parents' Airbnb. I thought, like, the family was
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But what I will say is they're like George House.
I'm confused.
Yeah. I wish someone would be mostly honest about what this listing was. But I think that here's something that I'm going to flag was that last week Liam and Ariana went to Lake George. I'm sorry, two weekends in a row in upstate New York, that's too much. I have not, all this time, I have not thought that he was love bombing. But I think the Adirondacks and Catskills doubleheader, we're now heading there. We're heading to love bomb territory. It's too much.
Oh, he's been love bombing from the very beginning. He's like, you want to come meet my family? Can I build you a closet? It's too much.
I don't know. I do think that, like, am I going to go on this tangent? I'm going to do it. In all honesty, I do think that there's a difference between love bombing versus, like, having no game and thinking that you're supposed to do grand gestures, like, as part of wooing a girl. And I really do think that he lands more on the side of, like, this is what they do in the movies, so I'm going to do it too. But, like, to me, a love bomber is someone who, like, sells you on a promise of the future and all that. And, but that being said, two upstate New York weekends in a row for this poor girl. And it's nothing about upstate New York. It's just like, that's a lot of driving. It's a lot of upstate New York. And so I'm going to say it's moving towards love bombing for me.
Yeah, he's giving off some red flags. You know, he's giving up a lot of them. Like, the problem isn't, in his mind, it's not that I said I love you. It's that I was too honest with her. It's kind of it's too much that you already love somebody. That's what's too much. Mm-hmm. It's not even that you said it. Yeah. It's that you really feel that way. It's too much. And I get it's young love and all of that. So part of it's just the old bitch in me trying to explain to the young bitch in me, like, don't do it. Don't do it, Ronnie.
But you know what?
So that's part of it. But I'm like, afterwards.
It was last week. It was also the fact that he was like, I told her I was going to sleep, but then she didn't want to come into bed with me either. So she just stayed down there. And so he had, like, they had to have a talk. And that gets to be more like, you just.
And then he uses the I love you card when he's upset. Like, you've upset me and I love you. How could you treat me like this? It's just red flaggy. Very, very red flaggy, this guy.
It's like, I feel like it's like the most, like, G-rated version of narcissism we've seen on Bravo. But, like, there's definitely, like, some elements there for sure.
Well, he's also just getting started. So,
yeah.
Usually it takes a while for someone on Bravo to
to ripen.
So many red flags. This is
Jack's level.
Yeah, it's like the end of his first season. So he goes, yeah. Well, look, I invited Ariana to Lake George because I like her, and it's a big part of who I am. So I wanted to see that side of me, that huge, thousands of square foot side of me. And, you know, when we were at Lake George, she really looked at me and she said, I manifested you and then you came to life. Like, you're everything I ever wanted. You're my dream and you're sitting here right in front of me and I don't know what to do about it. What do I do? I manifested you. So that's
she was talking about her morning coffee. Okay. You got her a cold brew and she was like, oh, thank God I manifested this. Relax. You know, he also sort of just comes off as someone who's insecure. Like to be totally honest, they said last week he's like a 5'7" actor. Like, I think that he's concerned that he's, like, not, like, inherently the cool guy. So he's got to sort of, like, front load the Liam experience with, like, whoa, I got a huge house. Whoa, I do this. Whoa, I built a cabinet. Like, you won't mind that I'm short, right? So, and I'm not saying that's where his only insecurity or if that he's even insecure about that.
Well, but I don't mind I can that you're imagine. Short. I love a short king.
We all love a short king. But, like, I'm just saying I see him as someone who's, like, insecure and trying to fill voids of where he think his pun really not intended shortcomings with, like, but I can offer this instead. I can do this instead. Don't worry. So, you know.
Whatever. Well, now that you bring up that, it is kind of Tom Cruise-y jumping on the couch, you know?
Yeah. Which is not
like, I love her. I love her. I love Katie. I love her.
Liam would do that.
And jumping up and down on the couch and Oprah being like, calm down, babe. You know, that's like Tom Cruise without the career. So he's like, yeah. And I'm sitting there looking into your eyes. I can see our fucking future. Like, what are we doing? Because if you're someone's dream, like, you expect them to chase it. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I expect you to chase, and I'm worried. Don't chase.
To quote a credit card slogan, chase what matters. Not sure that you qualify on that. So Ariana says, the situation makes my hands clammy. she goes, love is a big word. Okay, it's a big word that makes me very, because we clammy hands. I'm not going to lie. My hands, like I put them on the wall, you're going to see a print. And I was very thrown off by it. I obviously did not tell him that I loved him back. Like I've only said I love you to one person and I truly meant it. And it was Hudson. It was the man who looked like a troll doll who got his hair wet and then dried afterwards.
Oh, poor Hudson. He just can't.
No, we're not saying poor Hudson to this guy. Whatever. Never.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think Hudson looks like a troll doll.
His hair, that hairstyle drives me nuts. His little bob, it looked like his hair.
Whatever. Walk off with your corduroy pants, bro. I don't care. Walk off with your corduroy pants. They showed that clip of Hudson saying that to Charlie. I was cracking up.
Yeah. No, I would never make fun of Hudson's looks. I would make fun of his hairstyle. I think that's very
good. Yeah. Well, especially his season one hair was something.
Like an untreated Jodie Foster bob.
Oh, poor Jodie. Well, I'm feeling too
really,
many things today. I don't know. I don't even know who I am today.
You're really feeling things. I'm like,
I am. I don't know why I'm in a sensitive place today.
Do I have to make
today?
A different pop culture reference? Do I have to find who's someone I can Bobcat Goldthwait? I mean, what can I do to make you get into this hairstyle shading?
Well, that'll do it, Bobcat for sure. Yikes. So now Ava and Shai are flirting awkwardly, and she's like, I mean, at this point with Shai, like nobody's really addressing what happened in Vegas. And so we're just like silly and flirty. Like, I don't know. It's like confusing. So this episode, we find out that there is really flirtation from her end.
Or boredom.
I was surprised.
Boredom on her
were
end.
You?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think Ava enjoys attention and Shai is giving her attention. And, you know, she's vulnerable, you know, because her forever love, Hook, he's no longer in the picture. Hook, line, and sinker, unfortunately. So I think, like, this was an inevitable path forward. So, yeah, she's into it. Why not?
I think Shai is cute and I think he's rich as fuck too. And he's nice and he has a brand and stuff. So it's not like I don't think he's worthy. I just didn't get any vibes. I thought her vibe was like, ew. Like Shai is nice, but he's flirting with me. Ew. But it wasn't that.
Since you're the king of predicting evil downsides, do you think Shai is going to have a Wes Wilson moment?
No, I mean, I don't see that coming, but it took me a good year to see anything with West either. So I don't know. Do you?
Yeah, I don't think so because he has, like, at this point in West's first season, even though this is Shai's second season, but it's really kind of his first, I think West had ingratiated himself pretty intensely with Sierra. Like, he'd already started to, like, weasel in a way that Shai's not really. Not being totally successful with. I mean, there's the stuff with Ava, but generally the group is weirdly frosty to him and people are suspicious of him. And Ava flirting with him almost seems like reluctantly and out of boredom and because she has no other options at the moment and it's probably the holidays and she maybe feels a little lonely or something. So like his social game is shockingly very off. So I think even if he does, I don't think he's like ingratiated enough to create a scandal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything with him, I see his getting offended at every little thing becoming a bigger deal when you're in a relationship with somebody. Like, that was rude. Why would you say that? How could you? Why would you say that? You know, being overly sensitive until it makes you crazy. But
well, for right now, until the other shoe drops, I
anyone can
really enjoy Shai. yeah, anyone can cheat.
Yeah. So Liam is talking about Charlie to us. He's like, yeah, I mean, Charlie doesn't respect me, so whatever. I'm not going to give Charlie the time of day, you know? Well, I mean, last night I was the only one calling him out. I mean, I really wish other people would have maybe called him out. Get better coke, Liam. You want people to stand up for you.
Yeah. Well, as Henry Gibson would say, it's a doll's house. So he better see himself out.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, but Liam says, I'm not going to lie to you. I wish some other people would have said some shit. I wish Amira would have said a little bit more. Because Charlie's not going to listen to me. The non-skiing group goes back to the house, and Brooks announces that they're actually planning to put together a surprise après-ski party to celebrate Ava and Kendall's birthdays. So, like, Ava and Kendall, they've got, like, go out of my venue.
Yeah, and Riley tells Ava to go take a bath. She's like, yeah, I will. I'm going to use bath bombs. Riley's like, wow, I don't know if I should be proud or scared of my deception skills.
I think it's hilarious that they know Ava will take so long that they can actually build an entire party.
So they're decorating for this party, and Rowan's like, you never know how long the word happy birthday is to tear your leg up mega balloons. That spell happy birthday. This sucks. Why do I have to do this?
So then they're, and by the way, Ava fully is suspicious that there's going to be a surprise party. So she brought like a surprise party look just in case, which I think is funny. And then Brooks is like, he's actually doing some manual labor. He's actually shoveling snow onto champagne buckets. And they're all so impressed. Like, oh my God, Brooks is actually shoveling something. They're like, wow, he's doing something slightly active.
Charlie takes Liam aside to talk, and Charlie's like, yeah, so I mean, look, I was I was thinking about what happened last night, like I mean I guess you were upset, so like to that end I do want to be respectful of you. Like, Ariana's blossoming, I mean, whatever. So despite me like indicating that like I didn't care if you were together with her, like I would just like to now furthermore today indicate that like I apologize, like I have respect for your request or whatever.
And Lee's like, whoa, the cool guy's talking to me. And Charlie's like, you know, I do have respect now. He's like, well, I mean, I appreciate that. And to be honest, man, I did not expect you to say that, you know, because as an actor, you got to be in the present, and you can't just be anticipating what the next line is. You know what I'm saying, bro? It's what we actors do. You know, Mirshka gets it.
Line. And Charlie's like, yeah, well, I mean, on the scale of like, it was explained to me that you guys were like exclusive, but like, no one told me you were exclusive. I mean, how was I supposed to know you're exclusive? And it's like flashback last night. Everybody told telling Charlie that they're exclusive. Ding. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I was like, what?
I had no idea. I wish someone had told me. He's like, no, I appreciate that. And to be honest, man, I did not expect you to say that. You know, again, living in the moment. So the producer asked Charlie, like, what made you change your mind? He's like, Charlie says, on the ski lift, did you explain to me that they had, in fact, like, become exclusive? Yeah, I would have liked to have known. I'm just going to repeat that information for you guys a little bit. So Charlie says, probably would have been helpful to, like, figure out whether you guys have a label. You guys should have, like, a label or something, you know, so that way people like me know whether or not to, like, go for your girl, you know? And he's like, yeah, I mean, there's some confusion with it, but I think that, like, one thing that, like, we agree on is, like, we do like each other a lot. We like espresso martinis a lot. We love going to Lake George, and we like spending time with each other on the car, on the Taconic Freeway, anything to get to upstate New York, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, like, being honest with you. Like, it's just, like, freaking us out a little bit.
Yeah. And Charlie is like, yeah, well, my conscience is clear, you know? So, like, if I get with Ariana, like, it's because, like, she, you know, she's not in a relationship. I'm Charlie. Like, I have morals. I don't know where Charlie's coming up with all of this, but it's fun because you know that he's working on something.
I mean, I think that Charlie is low-key a top-tier Bravo villain because he does that thing that the best villains do, which is they will do something hugely villainous, but then they do something like wildly sort of self-aware and human afterwards. That sort of like, I'll get angry at him and then I'll thaw. He thaws me and then I get angry again. And like, that is like what Ramona does. That's what back in the day in like Vanderpump Rules era, before we were truly aware of his monstrosity, was what Jax was like back in the day, where we'd be like, oh, fucking Jax. But then he would do something nice. Like, oh, but Jax, he's an oaf. Like, the best villains on Bravo do have that pattern. And I think Charlie is
a great apologizer.
Yeah, he's like he's in that vein. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a Tamara Judge.
Tamara is a great example.
I'm so sorry if it hurt your feelings. I was saying you're an alcoholic. You can't keep a man. What?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very great apologizer. So he's pretty good. And then we go to Gia, Ariana, and Shy. And of course, Gia. Gia doesn't have a lot going on. I mean, she tries. You know, she has her boyfriend Christian on the show. And she's like, how come you don't want to film with me? He's like, we're filming right now. I don't want to talk about this for 100th time. So she does try, but it doesn't really work. So she's, you know, doing the other business thing, other people's business thing, which is, I guess, her role on the show. So she's like, yeah, so Charlie was like, are they dating? And I'm like, well, they're not dating, but they're exclusive.
And Gia's like, Charlie is infatuated with Ariana. And like, I also think this is a game for him because like Charlie's like, let me swim and get her. But, like, it's fuckboy 101. So we're back to Charlie and Liam. And Charlie's like, but like, you're okay with like Ariana and I being friends, obviously, right? And Liam's like, yeah, bro, I'm cool with you guys being friends, but I would kind of like it, you know, kind of appreciate though, maybe some of those like late night things kind of like die down a little bit, you know, bro, that'd be cool. Yeah, can you not do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still hanging about late at night.
He's like, well, yeah, I mean, like, if you guys are doing your thing, like, she has no business smoking in my house at 2 a.m., I get you. So, like, why is she coming to my house to smoke up at 2 a.m.? Exactly, Liam. Totally on the same page. Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah, let's go skiing, bro. Let's go do it.
And this fucking guy. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Should we rip it?
So they're broed up now. Meanwhile, Gia's like, well, but you also have to understand she just got out of a relationship with Hudson. Oh, my, for Christ's sake, make your shit talking faster. Charlie's already back from the slopes. They walk right in.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, what's so funny about Charlie is that, like, he has such sway over the group. They're all really sort of, as much as they can't stand him, they are also, like, all their actions really revolve around him, how he's going to react, what he's going to approve of, like, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's just funny because when we moderated that panel, Charlie was at the end of the sofas, just sitting there with sunglasses on, like slouched his like legs all the way out. Like, I'm too cool for this. And it's just so funny that this guy has this sway over this entire cast. And I don't know if you felt the same way, but I kind of felt like we were parents and I was like, oh God, our teenager over there just learned about goth music, you know. It's like
yeah, but then when we saw the show, once we saw the episode, it was like the end. It was the very end of BravoCon. I mean, that panel was the final thing of all of BravoCon, wasn't it?
It was the final
of the whole thing. So yeah, I think he was just fucking
hungover,
exhausted probably, and hungover.
Yeah.
So Gio's saying, I'm sure he's really a good guy, guys. Did you see the ski slope scene? Poor guy. Poor Charlie.
Poor Charlie. What you gonna do?
So Ariana's like, well, if I'm kissing people, I don't want to kiss multiple people. And Gio's like, yeah, because those are whores. And we're not whores. Kissing multiple people does not make you a whore. I don't. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Crazy.
The specter of Teresa arrives. So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, Charlie's like sitting right over there. And so Ariana's like, the drama queen of the fucking South is listening over there. And she was like, no, I mean, there's nowhere else for me to sit. I'm gonna sit here. They're like, oh God, like, God, listen, douchebag. We need you over there. Get out of here. We got to talk shit about you. He's like, what? Why am I a douchebag? And they're just like laughing. And so Gia says that she really likes Liam. And she says, for Liam, this is so serious. He adores Ariana, and that's where I get scared for my best friend, because she wears her heart on her sleeve, and I just don't want her to get hurt, because hearts are sharp. There's like a pointy end, and if it's on her sleeve and she wipes her face, she'll scratch her face and she'll get hurt.
Like, Ariana, you need to be single for a little while longer. You need to be single. You've been with the same person since you were 16. So now the rest of the group heads back into the house, and Liam announces that he's good with Charlie now. And then we see that Charlie is texting a video of Shy skiing with his ass out. He's sending it to Amira. And then Amira's texting with her boyfriend, saying everything's fine with Charlie, but it's really hard to overlook everything that's happened with him. And then we see the flashback of Georgia being like, well, Charlie said that Kevin is a gay man. It's not discussed enough.
Mm-hmm. And so then Amira's saying, like, you know, this is, like, really problematic, you know, and it's hypocritical of me. Because, you know, now that, you know, she's saying it's hypocritical of me, because before Charlie would always say, like, problematic things, but now once it affects me, now I'm upset. She goes, but now I'm really seeing it with a fresh pair of eyes, and I know that he did say all those horrible things, and we've been friends for 7 years, and you've spoken about me that way? Like, that's so sad. And Charlie, I don't think, has any idea of how upset I am.
And now it's time for Ava and Kendall's surprise. Everyone gets kazoos. Sorry, kazoos.
They got kadoos.
And a kadoos. Kadoos to you.
Whoa.
And Kendall comes down first. And
can I also point out that, like, they hand out, like, Brooks hands everyone, like, a kazoo party, like, noisemaker, whatever, to everyone in anticipation of the surprise. The surprise. And then Shy just takes his and just blows on it. Goes, whee! And he's like, and then they're like, what, Shy, stop that. He's like, I'm sorry. I mean, you put it in my hand. I mean, I'm going to blow it. Like what? Like, I don't even know what to do. Like, I was just trying to be funny. I'm not a clown, but trying to be funny. Like, what? I don't know. What is this thing? What's a kazoo? What's a birthday party anyway? What? Huh? Shy.
You put it in my hand and I'm going to blow it. I mean, if nothing else has ever described my friend group. But yeah, of course, Shy is the one to blow it.
Of course he is.
You know.
And also, by the way, how funny was it that, like, Kendall was the one who came down first instead of Ava? Because the other thing is, they never even bothered to come up with a plan to make sure both girls come at the same time. So Kendall arrives first. And the reason why I think it's funny to me is that, like, clearly this party is more for Ava. So I just assumed Ava would be out first, be like, oh my God, thank you guys. And then Kendall would, like, drift into the party and be like, oh yeah, you too, Kendall, happy birthday. So the fact that she was the one who took, like, the star-making moment of surprise was very shocking to me, because it's Kendall.
Yeah, you can't even get upset about the kazoos being blown too early, because they were all blowing them for Kendall. So Ava heard all of that. And they were like, well, she said, did I miss it? And they're like, well, do you want to go down? She's like, no, I'll get my own entrance. Just give it a minute. Thanks. So she comes out and she's so surprised. And there's a DJ there. She's like, oh my God, how did we get a DJ? Brooks is like, I have my ways. And then it just cuts to the DJ. It says production assistant.
Yeah. Kendall and Liam go upstairs, have a chat. He's like, and so she goes, hi, I just want to check on you, because, like, this morning you didn't really want to chat. He's like, yeah, I mean, you were at dinner, like, that was fucking weird, right? Like, I mean, I was hurt last night, like, by Ariana, but Charlie came up to me today on the mountain and we had a talk, like a real intense talk, you know. It was like Pacino and De Niro and Heat, you know what I'm saying, man?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, well, anyway, it's an actor thing, and it was pretty deep, so things are cool with him now. She's like, where does Charlie even stand? Like, his frontal lobe fully developed within 24 hours? Something's fishy.
Okay, but like you and Ariana, like you don't have a title, but you've been serious and you're not official, but you're engaged. So like, look, I really love Ariana, like really seriously, but you're my best friend. And I don't think you should be treated that way by anyone. I mean, Charlie in the car saying, I feel like Ariana does want to fuck me. He kept saying that. He said it over and over. He's like, yeah, but I get it. Like they're friends. They have a weird banter. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I don't know.
This is how it is. Yeah, so it's not just a friend banter, I don't think.
Kendall's like, he needs to learn boundaries, like me with personality. And like, still in my head, I'm like, why is she letting him feel that way? Well, no, Kendall. Now this is where I'm going to disagree with Kendall. I don't think you can blame Ariana for Charlie being an asshole. In fact, Charlie's the sort of person that the more you tell him no, the more he's going to do it. So I think the attention should be put on Charlie, that he should learn some boundaries and he should have some respect for some people.
It should be. I guess if this conversation came a little later, I would get it, because Ariana's like, oh my God, this is like moving so fast. We're spending Christmas together. What? Like what? That is kind of mixed messagey. But
everyone should, you know. Everyone, these guys, just as I would say, holistically, these men all need to work on their boundaries and their maturity. But then again, this is the show, is it not?
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.